gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Bela Page, Justin Tyler, Alex Sober!
Hey everybody, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And that's our Man of the Booth band. Oh my God, you guys, welcome to Comic Book Club. Pete, did you momentarily forget what your name was?
No, I was saluting everybody in the audience. I don't know why.
And right now, for those of you listening at home, there are 3,000 people in the audience.
Yep. Took a while.
So we had to take his time saluting.
And a huge portion of armed forces members. So a salute is the only way to greet them.
Guys, our sexy dance will be later on in the show. So stay tuned.
Will it?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be now?
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I guess it's time.
Yeah, is it time for a sexy dance?
All right,
we're
going to
do a sexy
disco ball. Yeah!
For those of you
that was
home,
amazing.
Justin Tyler just ripped off his pants.
Hold on.
That was great.
Yep.
That was worth it.
Well, since we've, I know. Well, I just got those Terry pants. And now that we're going to be filming this show as part of the Nerdist Network, and we want to be physically fit. A little bit more.
Yeah, we're all working out together.
Well, that's why I bought those pants. If I have those, that's a start.
Yeah, we do the show for an hour a week. Every single other hour of the week, we are working out.
Yeah, it's true.
We have not stopped. True.
When you guys mean working out, you mean drinking beer and reading comics, right?
Yeah, that's working out the brain. Yeah. And letting the body fall fallow to the side. Eventually, we're going to be three Krangs in a giant suit.
Nice.
From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. I know. I was trying to work out some kind of like three Krangs in a bathtub type joke.
There were three Krangs in the bathtub.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not. Come back later in the show.
Wait, in my childhood, it was three bears in a bed.
Oh, we're thinking of very different things.
Really?
Yeah. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests. I'll tell you when you're older.
Oh.
Very excited about the guests that we have on the show. They are two awesome hosts and producers and other assorted things.
Great.
For a podcast called Comic News Insider. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Aquino and John Hosh!
Yeah! Watch your step. Watch your step.
Hello. Hello. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. And also thank you for filling in at the last second. We were supposed to have a guy named Aaron Haber on the show.
Yeah.
But he literally went to the hospital rather than
what
come to this show.
What did you do?
We kicked his ass.
Not our fault.
Wait, I'm hardying him at all, but I'm just saying.
It was weird that you guys were right there at the site of the car accident.
awkward.
He wasn't actually in a car accident. Actually, I don't know what happened to him, so I hope it wasn't a car accident.
I hope he's okay. I mean,
yeah, he's all right. He was rushed to the hospital, and then it turned out it was just bronchitis.
Oh. Well, not just bronchitis. Bronchitis is pretty bad.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it wasn't like, oh, you're going to die tomorrow.
Inflammation of the bronchial tubes?
Wow.
It's because I was making out with him before. So
go on.
So you guys do a podcast called Comic News Insider.
Yep.
What is it like to host a comic book podcast?
The fame,
be careful how you
I found
answer.
Over the years in the ladies.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The ladies.
No, no, no. Totally. I just threw my pants to a woman.
No, we've been doing it. We started in April 2005. We've been around a while. So it's just a weekly thing we do, and we have fun doing it. And
we started in March 2005.
Yeah.
One month before.
Oh, wow. Actually, but I thought about it in February of 2005. So,
what'd you do in that month that you weren't starting?
I had bronchitis. So,
well, it's a really debilitating disease.
Totally seriously, you guys have been around far longer than us and podcasting far longer than us. But the landscape of this is going to be the most boring question.
I can't believe you just said that. The landscape of podcasting is an ever-changing and dynamic environment, and
you should be proud of me. I figured out a way to make the show nerdier.
Great.
It's our one weakness.
I thought we were on the ocean floor of nerdiness, but you found a little chasm that we can slip under where all the fish have little lanterns and shit.
What makes Comic News Insider different?
Nothing, because everyone copied us. So,
yeah.
Ooh!
Slam.
No, I don't know. I feel we were one of the first comic book-based ones out the door, and we really expanded out into TV and film a lot. And we cover, you know, we're sort of like a news magazine, I'd say. And John's a frequent co-host.
It's kind of like the Entertainment Weekly of geekdom.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, or awesome. Maybe more the Us Weekly.
What are we?
Yeah, well, if you want to go there.
Or the TV guy.
Celebrity gossip, you know.
Yeah.
You're like the wizard of comic books.
Wow. No. That's the most insulting thing I've ever heard say.
Hero Sorry. Magazine, no.
You're like the wizard of girlfriends.
Joe Gonzalez, the original co-host and founder of this all. He left last year for very selfish reasons to start his own sort of nonprofit group to help people.
Dick.
Like, I know, like
Asshole.
Build villages in Africa and stuff like that.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, but what do those villagers think of the new 52?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, where's Storm? I don't know. 52?
So what have you guys been particularly excited about? What have you been talking about a lot on the show lately?
We cover the news every week as well. So some of the big news, obviously 52 has been covering a lot of news lately. The new Avengers X-Men coming up, it seems pretty exciting.
AVX.
I got to say, what's been in the news a lot, and I'm a proud champion of them, Archie Comics. Archie Comics.
Yeah.
My first comics were Archie. The stuff they are hitting lately with Life with Archie Magazine, it's one of my favorite titles every month. The stuff they're covering is amazing. So.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, actually. We talk about this all the time, and Pete always gets very upset when we do. But Archie really has been trying things and pushing forward comics in a way that a lot of the major publishers have not.
Yeah. For those of you guys,
which is crazy. For those of you guys who didn't hear, I think this was announced today, one of the longstanding Archie characters in an upcoming arc is going to deal with having breast cancer.
Yeah, and they also not only are going to touch on cancer, but because she's like a super wealthy person, they're going to touch on the fact that she feels really guilty that she can afford health care, but others can't. So it's like they're touching on that issue as well. So it's like, cool.
What about all those hamburgers?
That's still relevant. Jughead owns the chocolate
Back when Archie was created, I feel like the hamburger overabundance was the real crisis that they were dealing with.
Yes.
And I think that issue was conquered by Jughead, as we know, and Wimpy from the Popeye series.
Well, you know, originally, the Archie-Betty-Veronica triangle, Archie represented the United States, Betty represented Israel, and Veronica represented the rest of the Middle East.
The Middle East?
The rest of the Middle East. It was very.
Did you
just
give up on that bit and just say the rest of the Middle East?
I fell asleep just a little bit.
Wow. Very sort of predicting a lot of strife in the world to come, they were.
Yeah, I know. It was originally.
That Archie ended up with Veronica for most of that relationship.
So who was Cheryl? Canada?
Yeah, I don't know. Cheryl. Jughead is the United Kingdom for some reason.
Yeah.
With a great hat. He wears a crown.
Yeah, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's what I bet.
Yeah. And Midge is space.
All right. Can we stop talking about Archie, please?
Well, let's get behind the hate for Archie. What's going on?
Pete doesn't like sweet.
Yeah, Pete, why don't you like Archie?
That's cool.
I don't have a heart. Yeah, I don't know. It's something about Archie just doesn't.
You don't like good things.
Yeah, exactly. I have a.
What is it?
Redhead
taste. You don't like relationships, both in comics and in your real life.
Right, exactly. No, I just feel that it doesn't strike me as, oh man, Archie, yay. It just doesn't get me going.
You're a huge Punisher fan, right?
Right. Punisher.
Archie
Hulk,
meets
Wolverine.
The Punisher. What did you think about that?
That was bullshit.
Why was that bullshit?
Okay, fair enough. It was kind of it was a goofy story. It was goofy. It was
really?
Fun.
They didn't treat it seriously.
I felt like it just wasn't realistic. But
yeah. They just my
kids. Comics are.
What's wrong with that?
Kiss, they might come on.
For three issues.
Archie Kiss.
The Kiss
yeah.
Archie's like mashup. Come on.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Honey, honey, and hotter than hell. No,
yeah,
no. sugar.
No, we liked it. We had Alex Segura on the show. Who wrote it a couple of weeks ago, and he's great. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Speaking of good times, we should move on with our next session,
sure.
Which we like to call the stack. So here's the deal with the stack. On the stack, each one of us made a pick, some comic book we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to it right now. Let's kick it off with Pete's pick, which was Walking Dead number 94.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is based on the TV show.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
It's based it's based on The Talking Dead. The show that Chris
Hardwick
was after.
Yeah, exactly.
And they sort of really expanded out of that talk show world into a sort of a world of zombies, which I really
like. Yeah, well, that's why this arc is called A Larger World.
Yeah, exactly. All 93 issues before were just people in a room talking with celebrities.
Actually, it started with three moms who used to speed walk in a mall, and they came up with it. And then they died.
What? And they kept walking.
I think Pete's confessing to, Pete's confessing to a triple murder he committed.
Or having seen Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, exactly. Which is worse.
Do you want to talk about this issue? What did you like about this?
Yeah, this was a sweet, badass issue. Really, just to get you up to speed of what's going on. It's really scary out there in the world, and there are zombies.
So we were treated into comic books. One of them is The Walking Dead.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of status quo. You know, they're fighting zombies, trying to make it, make it in this society. And all of a sudden, they find this guy. And this guy seems like he's got the answer. He's like, hey, I know about this really cool place. You should check it out. Of course, Rick is like, dude, I don't trust you. You seem kind of badass.
Can I interject? The guy's name is Jesus.
Right. And he has Jesus hair.
Yeah.
He has Jesus powers.
Yeah. Also, he's like a magic.
Does that mean, does that say sketchy to you guys? You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. If a dude came in here and was like, hi, I'm Jesus, what are you guys doing?
I'd be like,
we're hosting a comic book show.
I fall on my knees to the Lord of our Lord.
I'd probably kick the shit out of him, tie him to a chair, and start interrogating him.
That's
nice.
Funny enough, Rick.
Oh, yeah, Rick Grimes would do that, too. Did you guys read this issue? Mm-hmm. What did you think about this? What do you think about the arc so far?
Well, the thing about Walking Dead comic is every issue is just, like, heart-pounding, and, like, there's always some sort of, like, cliffhanger at the end. But, yeah, you don't know. It makes sense that Rick doesn't trust him, because... they've run into the past where they run into people where it's like they get screwed over. So
they run into people where they're like, "Hey, we're gonna eat you."
Yeah, well, that's true.
Actual people who are like, "Hey, we're gonna eat you."
Hey, times are tough, man. We run out of burgers. You got to make your own.
Right. Yeah. This takes place in the Archie universe.
He said it. It's so true.
But I would like to say Jesus can whoop some ass.
He's got based on the
with his hands
Jesus.
Tied behind his back.
When he started charging those zombies.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. When he was like, you want me to get some help? I'll kick these guys. And then Rick's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And Rick's like, I'll help you, but I'm not going to. He basically says, I'm not going to hold your penis. Yeah. Which is like, all right, Rick, cool.
Which that's not really good.
Because Rick's straight.
Yeah.
You know. Well, even anybody. But like, there's no. Even, like, if I'm going to the bathroom, gator straight, like, don't touch my dick when I'm going to the bathroom, because I'm doing it.
I think we can't be friends then, because if I'm in the bathroom, I would, like...
Do you think maybe he was saying that because he only has one hand? So he's like, I'm not going to hold your penis.
Because all he can do is pull his pants down.
I want to.
I think that's fair enough.
This damn stump handle.
And Jesus was like, no, hold my penis with your stump.
Yeah. He might have fixed his hand.
And then he grew his hand back. Yeah, he's got a magic penis. That's the. I don't want to spoil it, but.
That's next issue. Next issue.
Yeah. She's 95.
But anyway, and then the guy's like.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. Enough about that.
Magic penis.
And then he's like, oh, these ropes are meaningless.
Yeah.
And then he's released from the ropes. It was like, oh, fuck. What the fuck?
I feel like he was handcuffed. That would have been the same thing. He'd have been like.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah.
I will say I like this issue, and I'm really excited about this arc and where they're going for the series. The idea that there are plenty more communities out there than just the one that Rick Grimes has been leading, but I kind of want them to get to it. I'm looking forward to next issue a little more than I was looking forward to this issue.
Yeah, I sort of want a big shakeup. I feel like so much of the series up until they got to the jail was just like characters dying, new characters showing up, and then now it's been sort of like just a grind of everyone being like, What's going on? You're broken. I'm lost my hand. All this terrible shit's been happening. And then, like, now, like, let's get some new people in there. Let's have some zombies bite some people.
Yeah. Also, this is probably entirely wrong, and I feel like this is the exact opposite of where the series is going. But I wonder if this is leading towards, not immediately by any means, but an end game for the series where civilization starts to come back a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like, I think he's going to keep it going. Issue 100, he said, is a huge issue. That's six away.
I hear what you're saying. I feel like this Jesus has just got a pyramid scheme, where it's like, if they bring eight friends.
Are you talking about Jesus in the comic or real Jesus?
And like,
but what if it's Jesus? Like, why are we just assuming it's Jesus?
Racist. Here's
I'm half Filipino.
God, you're racist. You're cool.
One Filipino on the show.
One Filipino. On the
Here's
show.
The thing. Finally. He has Jesus hair, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, Jesus hair.
Oh, well, no, I don't agree with you
he
at all.
He has a white man
I totally don't agree with
Jesus,
you.
So...
He has a white man Jesus hair? What does Filipino Jesus look like?
Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Whoa. I think I might be Filipino Christian.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which was The Shade, yeah. number 5 from DC Comics. All
James
right,
Robinson.
A lot of you yeah. are reading this.
Okay.
Nobody clap.
It's all right. If you're not, I'm a huge Starman is one of my favorite comics of all time. Again. Very like
absolutely. I agree. I'm right there with you.
James Robinson just killed it all the way through that run, and then he sort of stopped
crazy.
Writing a lot of good stuff. The Justice League was sort of all over the place. This is a return to form. This is great Starman level James Robinson writing. The art's fantastic. Following the Shade, where he's tracking down, Deathstroke tried to kill him. He's sort of tracking down a mystery, solving that mystery, and then you learn about his life. He has his daughter, and he met her because there was a ship full of vampires, she was
he
a baby.
He sucked out the poison.
Yes. Great stuff. Just great adventure. Very fun. Love it.
I love
issue
it, too.
Max
yeah.
is
I agree.
Just to clarify, we're not rolling our eyes at the series. We're just... He's always talking about Starman. That's why we're like grown.
Well, that's because I love it, Pete.
Yeah, I think it's great. No, I agree. I feel like the same way where when we first reviewed the first issue came out, I said the same thing. James Robinson is back with his Starman lore because he did go a little crazy with Justice League.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is great. Like the Shade was always such a great character. He turned this sort of minuscule character that was just ridiculous and silly into this fascinating, rich, complex, layered character.
Yeah.
I feel like we really got to talk about the art because this really makes an amazing story.
Javier Pulido. Yeah.
If you've been reading Daredevil, he's been doing some stuff on Daredevil and other things. Fantastic. Amazing layouts, amazing art. This is a gorgeous-looking book that is also beautifully written. It's great.
Oh.
Yes, thank you.
When he made a little commentary on the vampire lore, too. They created his own vampire lore where... She sort of was a vampire as a baby, but then grew up, but then stopped at, 14 or something like
About the age, sort of a mutant powers. Yeah.
I'll also mention, even though this is an issue 5, if you haven't read the rest of the series, you can jump right in.
Yeah, this is
Robinson
a great job on point.
Yeah, he does a great job of getting you up to speed on everything that's going on in the series. And this is, if you want to see a guy who can control darkness team up with a teenage vampire in Spain... And why wouldn't you pick up this book?
And not the darkness.
Wow, that was a really succinct way of saying all that. And thanks. Also sort of a dare to the audience. Hey, if you want to have a good time with your life, then why don't you read a comic? Drop the mic.
That's basically the thesis statement for our show.
True that. What's the thesis statement for your show? This is like a Bobby Flay throwdown.
Damn.
Essentially. you don't have to answer that.
Entertainment.
We actually don't have a thesis statement.
Yeah.
Cool, let's move on. Last one is my pick, which is, and I'm very surprised about this, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles micro series number 3, Donatello.
Yeah.
Nice. Woo! Come on!
Didn't read this one, sorry.
You didn't read this
one?
No,
sorry.
Ninja Turtles.
Well, just think about, don't say it, but think the theme song to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you'll sort of know what's happening in the comic.
It's totally true. This is a completely enjoyable comic for anybody who did like the cartoon, but also especially for people who like the Eastman and Laird
comic.
Watch
yourself.
Whoa. I think Brian Lynch, who wrote it, does a fantastic job making funny, but also actually a little dark at the same time. He really channels all the different eras of Turtles. And this is Donatello taking a solo adventure. There's some ridiculous stuff in here, but it's really enjoyable. Like, he has message board chats, and his screen name is Does Machines.
That's cute.
That's fun stuff.
That is fun.
And what was the line about...
There's sort of a villain that turns into his buddy who's has all these inventions that, counteract gravity and all that, and they're powered by his body. There's no battery. And Donatello's like, you should have an external power source. And then later he has to put it on. He's like, let's see how this thing works with turtle power. He doesn't look out of the comic book like
no,
that.
No, he break the fourth wall, no.
He slides the panel out of the way and says,
I wish that he would.
Turtle power.
Do you get what I'm doing? Now, the problem, if I could have just picked this up and enjoyed it, I would have. But Senior Zelbin here.
Senior.
Sold
Are you saying
me on.
Senior?
Yeah.
Senior. Like senior citizen?
Yeah. No, I don't know why I said that. Anyways, we can move past that for a moment.
Never.
Every word is precious, Pete.
He said to me, it's like the Eastman and Laird. It's esque of that. It has the darkness.
Which was really dark and violent.
Right, yeah. So I got Because yes. I was in love with the series as a kid, and I got super excited. I grabbed it, and I saw David Peterson did the cover, and I was geeking out about that. Then I opened it up, and it's not that. It is a very enjoyable comic, but I feel like it's lighter than the Eastman and Laird.
I feel like it's a nice middle point between Eastman and Laird and the cartoon.
Yeah, if you sold me on that, then I would have been fine. But
I can't say
you
had
the expectation of... You know, reliving my childhood greatness.
Well, that's and a bit of a that's a tall order for a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
It's childhood better relive greatness. My childhood greatness.
So, Zalbin raped my childhood. Is what happened.
Whoa,
really?
Now that's the mission statement. Of
yeah,
our
that's
show.
Pretty crazy. Can I revise my statement and say
sure,
that
sure,
Ms. Laird? It's like three Krangs in a bathtub.
Wow.
How about that,
Alex?
Sold.
Alex, I have a question. What exactly does that mean?
That's it for the stack, guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bang!
Booth Bang!
Who, if it's your first time at the show, lives in the booth.
Yeah.
That's why he's a happy guy. Right?
Okay, yeah.
First question.
Really,
given the pre-orders for Avengers vs. X-Men now exceed Justice League number one, what is a reasonable post 90 ceiling for the 21st century?
1 billion comics.
Holy shit.
I agree.
That's a great question.
For those of you who don't know, just to give you a little bit of information about this, there have been reports. Nobody outside of the actual companies knows the actual sales figures, but there have been some rumors that Avengers vs. X-Men number one, which is coming out in April, is selling over 200,000 copies, which previously... The previous highest selling copy of a comic was Civil War number one, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though I seem to remember the Spider-Man issue with Barack Obama sold more than that, right?
That was
I think that was the later printing
selling.
Oh, was it later printings of it?
I don't know. I'm not
all right,
sure.
I don't know. But Justice League sold about 200,000 copies as well.
Yeah.
So potentially it's going to sell more than 200,000 copies. Potentially it's going to be the biggest comic book of the year. We don't know. So
but
how
in the 90s, comics sold at like a million.
Millions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, the 90s.
Third eye blind.
You just ruined it.
And comic books. Huh?
What do you guys think? What's the ceiling? What's the upper ceiling for Avengers versus X-Men number one?
Seven? No.
seven copies?
Yeah, seven. Sorry.
We made way too many.
Four or five.
I'm not buying
up
one.
There.
Four.
Four.
I think it's pretty up there. It's going to be close to the 200,000.
I mean, they're hyping it really well, so... I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and also now with like the movie and the X-Men movies,
yeah,
I'm sure
movie,
you're
yeah.
going to get a lot of people who don't go to the comic book store maybe coming in with all like the press that
I
they're
mean,
getting.
I think it'll be Justice League pretty handily, like you're saying, with the movie. And I think Avengers are, it's their moment now. So I think like, I bet like 250, a little north of 250, I think.
It's like Price is Right. Do we win a prize?
A dollar. Yeah. I bet a dollar.
251. 251.
You bet
249. One copy.
That rarely works on the Price is Right. And
no, it
never
does.
It never works in reality.
Cool. Well, thanks for asking that question. You're going to get some free comics, but also you are going to get free passes to a Manhattan 3D advanced screening of Disney's John Carter.
Awesome.
That's
I'm so
exciting.
Glad I asked
Manhattan.
That question.
Yeah. Sorry. Wow. Just a quick blurb for you guys. John Carter, Taylor Kitsch, is inexplicably transported to a mysterious and exotic planet of Mars, becomes embroiled in an alien conflict of epic proportions, and discovers that the survival of the planet and its people rests in his hands in theaters in Disney Digital 3D, Real-D 3D, and IMAX 3D on March 9th, which is Friday, I think.
Yep. Great. Where have you been?
I don't know.
I'm sure that's just the pace they wanted you to read that.
Probably. When they sent me an email, they're like, thanks so much for the passes. Read that as quickly as you possibly can. Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. Free pass and
nice.
Some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Is it a pass for one or two? Because we could be friends. No? All right, never mind. Sorry.
No, you guys would never be friends.
Oh, fine.
Wow. Hasty judgment there.
All right, next question. Full-on war declared between Superman family and Batman family. Who reigns supreme?
Oh, nice. That's a great title for the series.
Superman family versus Batman family?
No. No. Who reigns supreme?
That's... No.
No?
No.
All right, I'll workshop it. I'll workshop
it. Yeah, if you could come back later at the show with a better title for that.
Well...
Got it.
I'm trying to do numbers in my head of who's got more on their squad.
In their family?
Yeah.
In their
Let's
squad?
Just assume it's even, right? You got Batman versus Superman.
Batman.
Supergirl versus Batgirl. Superboy versus
Batboy.
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 Well, one of the many Robins. So.
Yeah, Batman has distributed kryptonite rings to everybody. Come on.
Hey, you know, it's not like he's mass producing them.
But that doesn't take down Superboy, does it?
Ooh.
Technically not.
But Red Robin's just going to steal his heart because they're going to fall in love and make out and then. Nice. And break his heart.
That's my favorite power of Red Robin.
Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about West Side Story?
It's West Side Story.
Love wins.
Yeah.
Love wins.
Cool. I think we figured that one out. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics and a pass to John Carter. Let's get the next question, please.
What's John Carter about? Could you read that again? No.
What?
What's John Carter about?
It's about it's about embroiling things.
Yeah, it's something embroiled.
John Carter gets broiled on the planet of Mars.
We saw it. It's actually very good.
Yeah, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay, next question. What comic first made you fall in love with comics?
Oh. I don't think that comic has been written yet.
Oh.
You should probably...
So you just hate them?
I fell in like with comic books as a young man.
Like?
The right one.
I just want to make a suggestion to you. I think you should read a little bit comic book series called When Love Reigns Supreme.
Yeah. Nice. Wait, that was my title.
Let's go down.
It's probably something that Art Adams drew back in the day.
Omaha the Cat Dancer? No? All right.
No, that was later. It was the thing where the X-Men go to the Mojo World and they become X-Babies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That whole thing. Because I'm a big Art Adams fan, so I love babies.
He's got, this guy's crazy babies. About babies.
Yeah, I love him. I love him a lot.
Jimmy.
Whoa.
All right, let's move on. Jimmy, what about you?
My first comics were like Archie and Richie Rich. Sorry, Pete. I loved those because we'd go to this like little yield bookshop it was called in Jacksonville, Florida. Plug.
Nice.
And they would have the 5 and 10 cent bin. My mom like, here's a dollar, go crazy. So Richie Rich and Archie were always 5 cents or 10 cents. So I would just go crazy with them, and those were the first ones.
Cool. I'm trying to remember exactly what the first one was.
It doesn't have to be your first comic. It's the first one
you fell in love with.
Fell in love with.
When you pull out a kryptonite ring and put it on the comic's finger.
So it kills me? Is that the...
Yep.
No, white that's kryptonite.
What, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get you real
that's
high.
That's when part of you died. Yeah.
Do you think Superman ever does that, smokes kryptonite?
No, did you read that episode, that issue of Batman or Superman where they had white kryptonite and he got high as shit? It was like 2 years ago it came out.
Really?
Shit you not.
Yeah. How did we miss that?
Wow, comics are crazy, you guys.
Yeah,
is that Grant Morrison? Probably.
That's the craziest thing I've heard.
Probably for me, first thing I really vividly remember is Fall of the Mutants across the board. I guess Mutant Massacre was before that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yes? Yeah. Yeah, so probably Mutant Massacre when everybody was in the Morlock tunnels and they were fighting the Marauders and everything.
Yeah,
that was
the worst time for everyone.
Yeah, but that was really intense. It just sort of felt like there were so many stakes. And then afterwards, Kitty Pryde was hurt, Colossus was hurt, Nightcrawler was hurt. They formed Excalibur, and Excalibur, I think, was the real first series that I fell in love with.
Yes!
Really?
Yeah.
That's a crazy answer.
Thank you.
Mine would be the Vibranium Vendetta.
That's a crazy answer.
That's one of the first comics. I would walk to the gas station, which was like 2 miles in the hot, hot summer sun, and I would go by that summer. Those annuals came out, and that's
really you would go up to the gas station and peek your head over the counter and say, "What copy of the Vibranium Vendetta, sir?"
Yep. And the guys in there were like so fucked up on white kryptonite or whatever the equivalent is. And they would be like, get out of here, you monster. And then I took the gas pump off and just let the gas spill on the ground. And then gas prices went up.
Your fault.
It was you.
Yep.
I'm always having to drive everywhere in New York City. Pete, what about you?
The introduction for me was I would have to go grocery shopping with my mom. And if I helped her carry all the groceries... If I helped her,
what
yeah. Because sometimes I was being an asshole and she would leave me in the car.
It's funny. I imagine you as a child having a goatee. Is that true?
Yes. Yep.
Being like, no, I don't want to help you.
But then when she started giving me comic books, I was good all the time. And the first one, I just remember in the store opening up and it was like Captain America was, I remember this very vividly, he was on top of his shield and it was like at a ski slope or something, and he had two Uzis, and he was just taking out bad guys.
What?
I don't think that happened.
That did not happen.
It did happen.
No, it didn't.
It must
I
have.
I had the same Archie comic of Archie was... Uzis,
yeah.
And
it was an ice shield, cream mountain, right? Yeah. And the Uzis were made of candy corn.
But the one that kept me going back for more was Eastman Lair Siege Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I know
you should really you should check out TMNT.
Screw you! Stop raping me!
Whoa!
I will never stop raping
Pete,
you.
Pete, I don't know if you know what that word means.
That's love right there.
Cool. That was an uncomfortable way of ending that. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're gonna get some free comics and a pass to go see John Carter. Let's get the next question, please.
Can I get another beer? Is that possible?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Here, while Boothman's asking a question, he'll pour you one.
Oh, sweet. I'll be, okay.
Yeah, do you want me to like say it really slowly?
No, he can hear.
Oh, okay,
as
that's
he walks.
Good. I didn't know that. I don't know how the body works. All right, this question is like really serious, so please take it that way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
Who is your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and why?
You scoff. You scoff.
Well, I was never really a fan of the Eastman and Laird originals.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut your mouth. You shut your yapper.
Well, can we go like comic book, cartoon, movie?
Sure.
Or do you want to just go across the board?
No, I like that.
Or do you want to do like Ninja Turtles, the new next mutation that came out later on Fox?
If that's your answer, I will be astounded.
Which one? Which TMNT member is your favorite?
Cause I started with the cartoon, and you know Michelangelo's a party dude, so he was my favorite. And then the first episode I saw was the one where he meets Krang, and then he like for some strange reason like punches through the corner of the floor, and you're like, why did you do that, Michelangelo? You're cool. And then that stuck with me. Weird. I mean Michelangelo across the board for me, really.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what about you? Favorite teenage
Tippy the Turtle? The one you used to have to draw to get into art school? Sorry. I was never a huge Ninja Turtles fan, but so I don't know that much about them. I don't really know the differences.
Oh.
No, it boils like, down to a couple. Can you all name them by the color of their headbands?
Well, yes. It depends, because they're all red in the comic book.
That's racist. Yeah.
Oh. Right.
Well, I think, Justin, you were going to clarify the differences between the...
Yeah. Well, huh?
Can I go just by the favorite artist I like? Named after?
Leonardo.
Leeds.
He leads.
Right.
Donatello. You know, he like is good with... he does machines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Raphael is like pretty laid back.
Sure.
Cool.
He's cool. But like in a pinch, he's sort of in your face. He's like rude.
Yeah, rude. Yeah. He's a rude guy.
Oh, and Michelangelo. Yeah. This guy's great at like a hummus and cheese event.
I think. Okay, then.
Because he's like a party dude.
Yeah, okay, by the way. I never got an invite to your hummus and cheese event the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty upset about that. That was real rude.
Yeah, I know. I'm more of a Raphael guy.
Yeah, see, I think on those descriptions, I'd be a Raphael guy.
Cool
but
rude?
Yeah.
Donatello.
Yeah.
That was obvious.
Yeah. Why? Why did you like him in the cartoon?
Does machines.
Here's the thing. He doesn't do a lot of machines.
Did they ever the cross over with the Transformers?
Because I like Donatello, too, because he was like a nerd. Yeah. But... I was like, where'd he get all that computer stuff in the sewer?
The trash.
He made it.
Where were the plugs?
People were flushing it down the toilet. They're like, I don't need this computer anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. See, because I got Raphael. That's why I ended up becoming more of a Raphael guy, because I was like, yeah, he's just mad. He lives in shit. He's like, a rat's like, do this. And he's like, fuck, okay. And then he's like, wait, there's a giant... technological, like, Death Star rolling around underneath New
Technodrome,
York.
Technodrome, dude.
Technodrome. I know the name. I was describing it. And there's a dude who's a brain in a suit and a bunch of dumb, hire better guys in Rock City and Bebop.
What are you
dumb.
Talking about? Yeah.
Krang didn't get them. He didn't think they were fun. It's not
Wait,
like...
Who
he
was, well, he was stuck in Dimension X, though.
Huh?
Like, Rocksteady and Bebop.
When they were made, so...
So this was like a spinoff of the movie Breakin'?
Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Okay,
yeah.
Rocksteady and Bebop.
They did very little dancing in the show.
That's unfortunate because...
Wait. We haven't heard Pete. Which turtle are you?
Michelangelo in the comic, and then Raphael in the cartoon.
In the movies?
Right. Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics and a pass to go see John Carter. Do we have any more prize packs, Pete?
We have a couple more passes.
Oh, okay. So everybody's going to get a pass, I guess. Yeah. Hopefully. Let's ask the next question. Hopefully, if luck pads out.
Could we have added Casey Jones to that?
Oh, yeah.
Is he a turtle? He's not a turtle.
No, but he's part...
Okay, April O'Neil. Was she an honorary turtle?
She's your favorite?
She's my favorite.
She was an honorary turtle.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
What about when Michelangelo had a grappling hook? He really fell from grace.
The grappling hook is my favorite turtle.
It was called Manrique Gasari on the cartoon.
Okay,
it's
next question.
Too many kids hit each other with nunchucks.
Yeah.
General feelings on Matt Fraction?
Love.
Love the guy.
Love. Yeah.
What do you guys think of Matt Fraction?
I like him with Matt back in... I'm just kidding. Yeah. I love Matt. He's awesome. We've interviewed him a couple times, and... Loveliest, nicest man in the world. His wife Kelly Sue, so sweet and nice as well. One of the unsung writers. I think she's one of the best writers around nowadays. Kelly Sue DeConnick.
She's great.
She's amazing. But Matt is awesome. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's a great writer, funny guy, nice guy, very intelligent.
Generally, just super nice. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For those of you at home, he is a gun to our heads right now.
And he asked that question, so he gets a pass to John Carter.
Yeah, he's
now get out of here, Matt Fraction.
He's doing an amazing job on Iron Man, and before when he was on Punisher, that was hilarious. Yeah. Guns that shoots bullets that turns into knives. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's not forget Casanova.
Casanova.
Yeah, Casanova's great.
Oh, yeah, that
I've also been really enjoying Mighty Thor right now. I wasn't totally into it at the beginning of the run, but it's been great lately.
Don't
like him at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No faults, flawless.
Flawless victory.
You guys,
that was as much a voice as Casey Jones is a turtle.
Wow, what a great analogy, SAT prep over here. Jesus Christ.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get passed to John Carter. Let's get the next question.
All right, next
question. Matt just texted me. So,
Oh, no. Scarlet Spider. Great series or greatest series?
Wow. That is. I'll tell you what, I've been reading it and I like it, but not a lot of people probably do, right?
I like it. First couple issues I read, I really like, but I sort of just fell off my radar. I feel like I need to pick it back up, but I really
There's only been two issues.
Yeah.
Then that's why.
Those first one or two.
I got through the first one in 21 pages. I was like, I don't know. Sort of fell off my radar. Oh, no. It fell off my desk.
Yeah.
Then I picked it up and finished it. It was great.
I feel like there's more.
Yeah, I dig it. The only thing that was kind of weird was like, I forget what town he's protecting or he's in right now.
Houston.
And then he's like, Mexico's right down the corner. I'm like, that's not really true. Like, that's pretty far away. Texas is a big state, and like,
yeah, but
it's
he could
not...
be web slinging the entire time from
to
the
what?
Tall buildings.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's Texas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're in Texas.
The Longhorns. Yeah.
You're gonna a tumbleweed and be like, oh please, God, go. Yeah.
Keep tumbling. That's the thing. I agree with you. They talk how he's like, oh, the Southwest, and he's like, oh, Houston, and like, we get it. You're out of New York. Like, I don't need to push it so hard.
To be fair, one thing that I thought was pretty cool, it's written by, oh my God, I'm totally blanking who's writing it.
Chris Yost,
thank you. I wanted to say Chris Gage, and I was wrong. Chris Yost and Ryan Stegman, who's drawing it, actually went down to Houston and did a little tour there and to comic book shops. They did a talk about the book, took some pictures, and did a little more research so they could be a little more true to the area.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, so now you can go out a building in Houston and be in Mexico.
Oh, perfect. Nice.
Yeah, they moved Houston for the comic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Houston mayor changed the city limits.
That Marvel-Disney merge just gave them a lot of money.
They do whatever they want.
Were you applauding them for doing their job? Like, they actually did research.
I don't know if you heard, but Alex said he took pictures.
Oh, okay.
Which means he
went to comic book shops? Like, whoa, that guy's going above and beyond.
Well, he went
shopping. He met people.
They didn't have to go to a piss pot like Houston, did they?
Whoa.
What? We all know it's a piss pot.
Huge anti-Houston crowd.
We just lost our Houston crowd. There they go.
It says it on the side. Houston, we're a piss pot.
Yeah.
Thoughts of Alex Albin does not necessarily represent all of Comic Book Club.
You can hear all of those Southern radio or pod radios.
We're on the radio, ham radios.
How does this podcast even...
There's a bunch of people being like, well, I'm turning off the radio.
And turning up this podcast.
That didn't work.
Where's this sound coming
from? All right, I'm going to turn off the TV then. Well, I guess I'll flip over my bed.
Try turning on the stove. See if that does it.
We got to get this podcast off. No way of doing that. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get a ticket to John Carter. Last question.
Real piss pot.
All right, last question. What was the worst part about Shadowland.
Wow.
Shadowland.
Shadowland was the worst part about Shadowland?
Shadowland.
What'd you guys think of Shadowland? Did you like it?
I don't know.
When it started,
I honestly didn't finish it, so I can't really make a grand assessment.
It was a tailor-made series for one Pete.
Yeah, I was excited when it started. I was really into it, and then
Very quickly, for those of you who don't know, the idea of Shadowland was Daredevil becomes super evil, possibly takes over the Hand, a group of ninjas, and builds a gigantic dojo in the city.
Oh wait, no,
York
I loved
city.
It.
You loved it?
Yeah. But that, for me, the thing was like, where was the zoning guy who was like, oh yeah, there's a giant giant dojo now. Yeah. Who commissioned that? Where's the scaffolding for the giant dojo
the
that's in Hell's
be like,
Kitchen?
I'm sorry, group of ninjas. You can't do whatever you want.
You don't have the proper paperwork.
See, I would have read that comic.
You should see the ninja architects are slick dudes.
Slick guys.
They turn it out, man. Room. They turn it out.
Like they would have non-union guys, a giant rat would have been outside.
A ninja rat, yeah.
I would have loved to see that just for a scene where they're like, where are the architects? And then hundreds of architects just pour in through the window.
Yeah. With pencils and protractors, like, we're right here. That series, the thing that I think is the worst part is that I was reading a comic the other day, and it cut to the Kingpin, and he was still in Shadowland. It was like Shadowland. The Kingpin was in the dojo. I was
so
like,
it's still there?
I was like, really? Is he still there?
Yeah, he took over the Hand.
No, I know, but I was like, it's just giving so much credence to that series that I feel like people sort of moved past.
Yeah, it's okay. I feel like there was some fun stuff about it. It didn't really pan out very well. I don't know if this was what you're reading. Were you reading Black Panther?
No.
No? Okay, never mind then. Black Panther, by the way, which just wrapped up, really good, particularly great last issue, so definitely check that out.
Yep.
And that tied into Shadowland, so screw you guys.
Oh, nice. Where are all these criminals coming from? Maybe it's that dojo on top of the
criminals. All right,
could be anywhere.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get a pass to John Carter, and that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Bookman!
Well, what did you think of Shadowland?
Nice. Yeah. Oh.
In case you couldn't hear at home, she was sad that the Mike Murdoch thing didn't wrap up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The what? You trailed out at the end. I couldn't hear you.
In case you didn't hear Pete LePage, he said, she was sad about the Mike Murdoch.
I totally agree.
We're going to play this game.
In case you didn't hear.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Okay, so in Week Geek, we hit you with a couple of pop culture topics, things happening in the world surrounding comic books. First thing we're going to talk about, as we talk about every week, The Walking Dead was on on Sunday. Now, I'm going to start off, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, you guys, but do you think Dale is finally going to get together with Andrea? What do you think?
I think it's still possible.
Yeah, it is.
Not until she's I into see. Creepy
she's shit. Getting, yeah, she's getting pretty dark lately.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What did you guys think about this episode?
I liked it. For those of you that didn't watch it, we're about to spoil it. I'm sorry. So turn at least turn down your radios. So in this
set your microwave to 3 minutes.
In this episode, Dale dies.
Something about the way he was just walking away for no reason, I was like, oh, shit.
He was like, you guys, there's something important to do in the field. We got to go out to the field.
He was just clearing his head.
You hated Dale.
Yes.
So this must have been either your least favorite or most favorite episode ever.
Well, here's the thing. I wanted the episode to play out a little bit differently. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised by the death of Dale. Especially, it was very gruesome in a way that I was like, wow. But I thought because Carl wanders off with a gun, he finds this zombie, and it's like...
That was killing me, that fucking little...
Yeah, he was being a jerk. Yeah. I thought for sure that Carl was going to come back, and while everyone was debating in the farmhouse, he was going to go shoot Randall.
Yeah.
And I thought that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
that would have been a great way to really put a fine point
that's
on
exactly
all their
issues.
Exactly
what I thought, and that would have tied in really nicely with
that. Because their whole thing, they were having this big debate about, like, are we, like, what humanity do we have to have? Should we kill this kid? And if Carl did it, it would be like, look, we can't even raise this kid to be not a monster. And here we are talking about whether or not we're going to kill this kid.
What was driving me nuts is nobody looks for Carl. Like, Carl was gone for the whole fucking yeah, episode. Exactly. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah, there's a zombie apocalypse. Look out where your fucking kid is.
Yeah.
Like, you don't care
he's
where
he's playing.
He comes back. He's covered in mud. Nobody. Oh, Carl. Hey, great. We're going to have a meeting.
To be fair, Laurie sucks.
I know.
She's a terrible, like, her character's terrible. She's the worst. Crazy.
There was the staging of that scene, which I'm not going to describe properly, but where Rick comes out and there's like, okay, we were torturing this guy in the barn, you guys. And everybody's standing around in a circle, clearly like in a circle talking. And Laurie just steps out of the circle, goes right up in Rick's face and is like, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Rick? Yeah. And everybody else is like, why are you? We were discussing this as a group, Laurie. And then she crashed another car.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. I think she hates Kias. Is that what it is?
Probably.
She blames Kias for the zombie apocalypse.
Can I tell you my favorite, absolute favorite part of the episode?
No.
Favorite part of the episode is they're all in this living room. Dale is making one last-ditch effort to save the life of Randall, talking to everybody. They're having debate. They're going back and forth. Everybody's talking, having debate. And then T-Dog chimes in, and he's like, well, maybe we should. And everybody's like, shut up, T-Dog.
You're already barely a character.
Shut up. You talk too much this episode.
And the only other time we see him is...
he's leaning
like,
against a tree.
Something happened to Dale in the field. T-Dog, get a flashlight. And then he's gone. And then we never see him again.
Oh, my God. He finally got a line, and they cut him off. Yeah, and we're like, shut up. That was amazing.
It's a real shame.
I miss T-Dog.
I love... there are a couple... I think Glenn is really, like, well done in that show. The acting's very good for him.
Asians, what's up?
Yeah. He's great. Maggie's great. What's his name with the crossbow is great.
Yeah, the backwards guy. I love
Daryl.
Backwards guy?
Yeah. Southern...
Backwards.
Backwoods or backwards?
Backwards is what I meant.
No, you were right the first
time.
That's
a judgment, and we've already crossed Houston tonight. So be careful. We don't want to cut off the whole southern half of the U.S. The Mason-Dixon just turned off their radios.
The people in the South are like, I got to turn off my tree. Right?
What?
Right?
I agree with Justin a bit on Dale. Dale was kind of just annoying because he was always like, you know, it's like it's a different world. It's like you can't have the same morals. You just can't.
But I liked
I don't mind that because sorry to cut you off. I don't mind that because like that was sort of necessary for the story. But just every episode, he was just like, what?
Right. Exactly.
What's going on?
That's what I'm saying. Totally thought about you while I was watching Dale die.
Whoa,
because
that's
even
creepy.
When he died, even when the gun was up against his face, he was still like, oh.
Yeah. He was like, wait, is this the right thing to do? Morally, should you be killing me?
But then he sticks his head to the gun, so he clearly switched sides at the end.
Maybe
so.
He was trying to lift his head up to be like, I don't know if you...
Don't shoot me!
No, but Shane killed Otis. I saw it in a dream.
Bury my hat with me.
Anyways, I did want to... What I liked about Dale was, you know... The whole thing of, like, you can't pick who's going to be in your group at the end of the world. You're stuck with all these different people. So I like Dale's perspective just to kind of be like, we're not all like-minded individuals. We're in a group of people that is, you know, so that's what...
Who would you pick in your end of the world group?
Oh, man, I would... Lou Ferrigno's in there.
Sure. I hear he's kind of an asshole, though, so
I don't know. But it's
like, I don't know if you want him. He's jerky.
You grab Lou Ferrigno, you get him to a warehouse, and he's like, did you get any supplies? Like, no, but we have a lot of green body paint.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Lou's like, I'm all body painted up. Let's go do this. And Pete's like, Lou, you're not the... Oh, and he's dead. You're not the incredible...
Don't you dare say that to Lou.
He's very old.
He can still kick ass.
He can still squash us by
Lou. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's...
All right, next thing to talk about. This is a big thing we just missed last week, so we got to talk about it now. On Wednesday, the new Avengers trailer came out. Yeah. We were speculating about it last week. What'd you guys think? What were your thoughts?
Okay, I'm for some strange reason, I apparently have no soul, and this whole movie, I'm like, I understand why everyone's excited about it, but I'm not super excited about this movie.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, everyone just... Bash me about it. Yeah, give it to me.
I'm sorry I brought him. I'm sorry.
Sorry. There's something about this movie that I'm just like not kind of excited about. I mean, I think it's cool, and I think the whole idea of it is awesome, but...
You don't like action movies and things.
You don't like fun?
Yeah, I hate fun.
There's going to be a thread dedicated to you on Weedon-esque.
Yeah, totally.
You'd be impressed with the acting and the writing and the, you know, the different...
I don't know.
I guess maybe like period pieces or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with this guy?
You want this to be like a Merchant Ivory Avengers. is what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you want to have like James Earl Jones read you a comic of it? Like, what are you looking for?
That's yeah,
a
him
question.
And Morgan Freeman would be awesome together, actually.
I'm trying to think of ways to make it work for him.
That would be the best way to experience the Avengers?
Yeah,
James Earl Jones reading?
Yep. Hello, I'm James Earl Jones, and this is the Avengers.
I'm already on board.
Yeah. So in this first panel, Captain America.
He describes it.
Yeah, Captain America is sort of running, I guess.
And then halfway through, he stops reading, and he's just like, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. And he asks a lot of questions like, what's... Wait,
you guys
so
better
this
not
guy...
be making fun of James Earl Jones. Right?
Now, I thought Black Widow was supposed to be Shatner Russian. Is she Russian in this?
And I thought, is she ageless or what's...
What continuity is this specifically?
I liked it.
Back to the Avengers trailer. What
should
I say?
Be the advertisements or not? Or, I agree with you, actually. I was sort of like the first trailer, especially. I was like, I don't know. Not super excited. This one, though, I think I crossed over to the other side. Like, it was very exciting.
This I also agree that I want to be insanely excited for this movie. That's sort of how I'm coming into it, where it's, sure, I'm going to see it. Of course I'm going to see it. I just want to be pumped to the point of I'm standing in the theater just like drooling from my mouth. I want to see it. And this trailer started to get me there. I watched it like 10 times in a row. It's great.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, really exciting.
Yeah.
It gave me everything I want. The music was good. It showed the conflict. There were tons of awesome shows. The music was really good.
The first thing you named. It gave me everything I wanted. The music.
Yeah. There was
the music, the dancing, the lights, and half the whole package.
Did you guys see that green screen at the beginning where it told us it was a preview?
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Oh, I know. That's
but that shot.
Fantasy violence. Yeah, all the things it lists.
That's all I needed to see was fantasy violence. And I'm on board.
I loved it. I loved everything. That shot of Iron Man falling out of the sky and Hulk.
Awesome.
That is love.
Oh,
that was great. That's cool. They're friends.
Oh, my God.
If they only would have made out, that would have been perfect.
Now, let me ask you guys a question.
Will.
At the end of the trailer, there is a shot of Iron Man being like, hey, I'm going to bring the party to you, and he flies towards everybody, and there is a gigantic metallic flying snake monster following him. Who do you guys think this is? Is this somebody new? Or
is that from the Transformers movie, maybe? Is that
what?
The thing from the Transformers movie? No.
You think it's the Transformers?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think Michael Bay got a hold of it.
Yeah, probably. Do you guys think this is something new, or is it
it
somebody
seems like
from
something new. I don't know what it could be. I wasn't sure.
I think it's going to be something Asgardian, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
My guess is that it's the Midgard serpent. That's what I think it is. I think it's Jormungand. I think that would make a lot of sense that, you know, it is...
Why did you ask us if you knew the fucking
name? It was a rhetorical
just a setup.
Question.
Just a setup.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think.
What is it, idiots? Yeah,
hey, guys, excuse me.
Check this out.
You look really smart right now. You're dumb.
Is that why you're in the middle?
Did it work?
Yeah, you really put it in our faces.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
I believe it's the Midgardian snake monster. To be fair, he put a blog post up like Thursday.
I'm just repurposing blog posts for this entire show. I hope that's all right
for
you guys.
Them.
Cool. Last thing I wanted to talk about, because this was a big part of our show for a really long time. This is something we talked about week after week after week. And now, sadly, it's finally over. Guys, Terra Nova got canceled from Fox.
Yeah.
So do you guys think, with Terra Nova canceled, is there any hope for terrible shows on television anymore?
I know. No.
There's plenty.
Yeah.
You think
show's
so?
Still on. You know what?
Did you guys watch Terra Nova?
I watched Terra Nova. Yeah. I didn't love it by any means, but I liked it. I did like it.
Does that mean they're bringing back Flash Forward or no? Is there any?
No, they're bringing back Journeyman, I hear. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah!
See?
I'm the writer and creator of Journeyman.
Maybe Daybreak? I don't know.
Yeah. I felt like it was just starting to get like a little more interesting near the end. It definitely started off pretty weak. But
the last episode I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
I watched all of them.
Great effects.
For some reason.
Yeah.
It was sort of...
Because they had dinosaurs, that's why. I mean, I'm going to watch it as dinosaurs.
Enough, like,
was,
Lost
you know,
that everyone watched
need.
It for a while.
Dinosaurs.
Primetime dinosaurs.
I turned the sound off. I would just watch the dinosaurs attack, and that was it.
You could also turn the picture off.
Oh, wow.
Fair enough.
And look at picture of the dinosaurs.
See, yeah. Are you from Houston? Because that's why you don't know how the TV works.
Maybe.
If you're
making fun of Houston...
People in Houston know how TVs work. They don't know how politics
If you're from Houston and you're upset about this episode, please write us at info@ifanboy.com.
Oh,
and send us your complaints.
Yeah.
And ask why we pronounce it Houston.
Did I say Houston?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, I've been so scared of saying that all show.
Really? So anyway, Yeah, let's get rid of the bad shows and the shows like Fringe. Let them have another season.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so. Yeah, Fringe is so good right now. I hope we can have more of it.
Are you curious about the Beyond the Fringe comic coming out tomorrow? Is that sort of
I'm curious about that. Did you guys? It was online first. Did you check it out at all?
I saw some of the previews, but I didn't like really read through it. But I'm definitely going to get the comic tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. All right, and that's it for the Week of Geek. All right, guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25? Simply raise your hand. $25. Simply, people on the show can't win.
It's very easy.
Anyone, raise your hands.
You, sir.
Yes, you. Yeah. Come on up.
Trust us. You literally walk on stage and we hand you $25. Yeah, that's
come
how
on up here.
It's embarrassingly easy.
All right. What is your name, sir?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, audience. Audience, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I think you're awesome, but you're blocking me. So just saying.
There's no camera. It's all audio. You can't block. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. All right.
He's blocking
you. So here's your $25 that you're going to win soon.
Maybe.
I get it anyway.
Definitely.
Put your mic up to the mouth anytime you want to talk. All right, here we go. Today's trivia is on the differences between The Walking Dead comic and the TV show.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, so how this works is I read you a question, you listen to all three possible answers, go three for three, gift card yours.
Nice.
Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. In the TV show, Rick is from a small town in Georgia. In the comic, he is from a small town in blank. Is it A, Kentucky, B, Florida, or C, One Handsville? So it's either A, Kentucky, or it's B, Florida.
A,
Kentucky, yes. Well
you
done.
You answered that like you were like getting away with it somehow. Like there's a teacher watching that's like, don't you cheat on this quiz.
Okay, here we go. Question number two. Carol in the comic is a single mom. In the TV show, she was married to, is it A, Ned, B, Ed, or C, abusive Larry? So it's either A, Ned, which would be the wrong answer, or it's B, Ed.
B.
Yes! This guy is good.
You guys are really ringer.
All right, here we go. Last question. Don't get cocky. Okay. In the comic, Lori sleeps with Shane once and regrets it. Is that A, true, B, false, or C, that's less creepy? So it's either A, true, or B, false. Don't pick B.
A?
A is correct!
Hey!
$25. Congratulations.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Just to mention, Abusive Larry in The Walking Dead comics, pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
They're doing a spinoff,
yeah,
right?
A misnomer.
Yeah, it's weird. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Pass, I forgot.
Pass?
Yeah, he forgot. And that Pass is not a comic, so don't you guys go out there looking for Pass.
Hey, I heard about a really good comic called Pass Number One.
Oh, I know, Animal Man.
Any particular reason why, Pete?
Because Jeff Lemire is doing an amazing job and is taking something that I've not been a big fan of and turned me into a big fan.
Oh. There you go.
Okay.
Comic books?
No. Animal Man.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I thought you meant animals in general.
Yeah. I thought you meant Ben.
Pete has been way more into men.
Nothing wrong.
Justin,
with
what
that.
About you?
I'm looking forward to The Fairest, number one.
Yeah.
Sort of spinoff from Fables in the Bill Willingham verse, if you can call it that. Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Phil Jimenez is doing the pencils on it, right?
Yeah, ooh. It's going to be very
and
pretty.
He's great.
Yeah, so. It's going to be the fairest looking comic.
Yeah, there you
following
go.
Following some of the princesses from the Fables world.
There you go. I'm looking forward to Superbia number one from Boom Comics, which is written by Grace Randolph, who's actually going to be on the show next week. And it's basically like Desperate Housewives, but with superheroes. So it's all whoa. Set in a section of a suburb where a Justice League type team lives. And it shows how they interact on a more domestic level and how they fight. And there's secrets going on and lies and things
awesome.
Like that. Yeah, it's really cool. So definitely check that
out. Is it like the GCB at all?
Yeah, it's just like the GCB.
That was pretty good.
I think that's going to really replace Desperate Housewives.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, well, stay tuned next. We have ABC Drama Talk Club
yeah.
after this.
So many things.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Chenoweth, right?
No? She has a gun to her head. For those of you listening at home. Jimmy, what are you looking
A couple Image books here. The Manhattan Projects, Hickman's
yep.
new
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
Anything Hickman does is just awesome. And also, the Hell Yeah, is it called? The Joe
yeah.
Keating and...
Hell
forgot
Yeah.
Hell Yeah. It looks really interesting, I think. So, yeah, check them out.
Cool.
Cool. I'm kind of curious about the Age of Apocalypse number one coming
yes,
out.
Yeah. Cool. It's a very specific take on that whole
yeah.
universe. It's about... Just like a couple, not a lot of mutants.
No, just like mostly humans, I think.
Yeah,
so.
It's from the human perspective, and they have to fight against an evil Wolverine.
Yeah, and also the Huntress miniseries wrapping up. I enjoyed that, and that character's going away, so, you know.
Aww.
Tear.
Well.
Paul Levitz.
And plug some stuff, guys. What should people check out from you?
I'm actually the artistic associate of a theater company in New York called Vampire Cowboy Theater Company.
Yeah.
We do like geek-centric theater. We just wrapped the show off-Broadway. That was called The Inexplicable Redemption of Agent G. So we'll have more shows coming out in the near future. So vampirecowboys.com and johnhosh.com.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. And Jimmy, what should people check
comic
out?
ComicNewsInsider.com. Like I said, we talked about earlier. We our weekly show every Tuesday we record. I have a rotating guest, a co-host, John's a very frequent co-host. Review new comics every week, cover the news. Guests galore from anyone in the comic industry to actors and producers and writers, et cetera.
Members of Comic Book Club, probably.
Comic Book Club records the same night we do, so it's always been tough, but I would love to have you guys on sometime. Perhaps
oh, awesome.
During the
yeah, well,
if we
see,
can maybe do it
now we're busy. We have a show.
I'm going to record in Houston, and if you guys could show up, that'd be great. So, cool. ComicNewsInsider.com. You can find me everywhere. I'm Jimmy Aquino, A-Q-U-I-N-O, on Twitter, J-A-Q-U-I-N-O on my website, Tumblr, etc. I'm everywhere. So.
Do you have any cities that you've alienated on your podcast?
Probably not, because we like listeners. So
that's one strategy. Think about all the cities that hate Houston, though.
I feel like there's
listen.
Probably countries you've alienated,
like Dallas.
But not cities.
Yeah, I bet Dallas. The message boards are lighting up right now. You're like, did you hear what they said on Comic Book Club? You got to turn up your stove and listen to this.
Oh, wait, Liechtenstein. They hate us. They hate us there. So,
yeah. Liechtenstein.
Yeah, they're the worst anyway.
So tiny.
Guys, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, as mentioned, we're going to have writer Grace Randolph is going to be coming back here talking about her book, Superbia, so that should be a lot of fun. Also,
Larry Legend is going to be on the show as well.
Who is
that? A famed ring announcer for wrestling.
Wow.
For the WWE.
Yeah, I was like...
Last time you booked a sort of a physical guest, I got punched.
Yeah, I know. I wonder what's going to happen this time.
Sweet.
Cool.
Couple of other things. You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com for podcasts, forums, info, and more. Also, check us out on Nerdist.com. Also, we are going to be moving the show, in case you haven't heard. The live show is moving to Pianos on March 27th. It's going to be at 7:30. It's going to be free. It's going to be taped for the brand new Nerdist channel, which just launched, youtube.com/Nerdist, and we're going to have some crazy guests that we can tell you about later.
We premiere on April 2nd?
April 2nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
on the first, people think it was a joke.
Yeah, and there's no joke about this
show. So every week you're going to be, it's going to be a TV show now on Down at Pianos.
Yeah,
we're going to be taping it starting March 27th. Sweet. It's going to be launching online on April 2nd.
Couldn't have waited to ask just then to do it for it. No, that's cool. No, whatever. It's fine.
We had to have you guys.
Yeah, we want to have you before we blew up.
I see. Yeah. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, we didn't want to.
If anyone ever goes to the hospital,
we knew you
again,
kind of thing.
Please
right.
call
exactly.
us. Let us know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like you date a girl, and then when you get famous, you have a celebrity wife.
Ah. makes sense. Is that what happens?
What?
That's
what?
My plan.
Justin.
Coming for you, Donica Patrick. Who's a celebrity? Who's a celebrity these days?
That's the first name that came to my head.
Interesting.
Guys, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jimmy for being on the show. John. Boothman.
Boothman.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. Please tell your friends good night.
Houston, we love you.
We do love you, Houston.
We love you, Houston.